Let's take our books again and turn to number 185. 185. Jim.
This time he went under for the Lord. Chauncey Taylor can proudly speak to neighbors and tell them just how Jesse took up with little Jim. Now Jimmy's got a daddy and Jesse's got a family. And Franklin County's got Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus saved his soul and saved and lost and good right on. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under. It's this time he went under for the Lord. Well, they baptized Jesse Taylor soul and Satan lost and good right on. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under. 'Cause this time he went under for the Lord. Yeah, this time he went under for the Lord.
Jesse Taylor. A bunch of you are a bunch of Jesse Taylors, aren't you? Oh, I wasn't that bad. Oh, yes, you were. Everybody was that bad. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, well, let's see. Get out your little chart. And notice I said a little chart. For those of you who are visually challenged, I have made a big chart for you, okay? And if you have a hard time reading my little notes, Brother Dave will give you a larger one. I think there's only six or seven, so don't everybody take one. Just those who are visually, we'll see who's visually challenged here tonight. All right. I kind of like the compact style, you know, but there I decided to scan it. I scanned it and enlarged it. For those of you who have a hard time seeing, I understand. My printing is just a little bit tiny sometimes. But there you go. You like that better, Margo? All right. Okay. Those of you listening on the internet, if you want a copy of one of these, you're going to have to write in to Ray Street Baptist Church and request a copy of Pastor Freeman's own prophecy chart. He'll be glad to send you one for $20. No. It'll be just for free. Just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. That's sufficient enough. And I'll stick one in the mail to you and you can have it. And we are all the way through to the middle of the tribulation time. You can see the two parentheses there. Just go in the middle of that, and that'll bring you into the middle, 3.5 years of the tribulation time. And that's where we want to pick up tonight. And we want to start off with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And reading verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 to start off with tonight. This will kind of bring us right up to what's happening in the middle of the tribulation time. Last week we talked about those two witnesses, the 144,000, remember that? And time of Jacob's trouble. Well, here we are now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, I believe that's a reference to the rapture of the church. Our gathering together unto him. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't you be shaken by any who want to say that we have been either left behind, or there is no such thing as a gathering unto him or a rapture, but we're going to go through the tribulation. No, don't be shaken by that. And then he goes on to say this, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, we're not in the tribulation time, nor are we in the middle of the tribulation, because the Antichrist has not been revealed yet. We are going to be raptured out before the tribulation begins. And it won't be until 3.5 years after the rapture that this man reveals himself, the man of sin, the son of perdition. There'll be a falling away, a great apostasy going on during this time. Verse 4, here's what he's like. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Oh, that tells me that there's going to be a temple for him to stand in and declare himself to be God. The first 3.5 years is going to be a lot of building going on, if not even starting before the tribulation begins. It will not surprise me, folks, if I see or hear Israel beginning to do some kind of building of the temple. I know it's going to be a big problem because the Muslims have their mosque sitting right there on what we believe to be the old location of Solomon's temple. And so, you know, it isn't going to go easy to have that start, but there is going to be a temple here for this man to stand up in, and as it ends with showing himself that he is God. So one of the things that's going to happen here when the Antichrist comes on the scene is that men are going to worship themselves. And it's already beginning. I see with humanism and evolution being the prime themes and what the belief systems are of most people, that we're here just as a result of a random chance, and that matter is everything. There is no God who's made anything. Matter has always been here. We are the products of it. And as a result, we are the highest form of evolutionary beings there are. So man is worshiping man. Humanism is man worshiping man. And it's going to come to a point that all men in this world are going to look for a man to follow after who will solve all of their problems and take care of them and unite everybody together in peace and tranquility. They're going to find a false peace for a season, but it won't last. For this man is wicked. He's a son of perdition. He's a man of sin. And you're not going to have peace with somebody like that. But there will be a false peace. You can see I wrote that down there on the first half of the tribulation time. I wrote there false peace. Can you see that? And that's going to establish bringing on this man that we call the Antichrist. He's referred to as the man of sin here. He's referred to as the son of perdition. In the book of Revelation, he's referred to as the beast. He is also called the Antichrist. And so there are some verses right there. Revelation chapter 13, if you go there, Revelation 13 and verses 16 and 17. Here's what he does. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So you hear the word beast in there. That's the another name for Antichrist, who is going to rise up someday in the middle of the tribulation time. What's he going to do? He's going to cause everybody to have a mark in order to do business. I was reading in a magazine that just came the other day. They now have a means by which they're going to put on the hand here. It looks like a digital, like an eight, a digital eight thing where they can put different numbers and things like that, right into the skin. They can embed it right into the skin. Folks, this stuff is here. The things that we're reading about here. Now, I remember preachers talking about this mark of the beast way back in the 70s. There were some who thought the universal product code was an example of the mark of the beast. I don't know if you know about that, that thing that you scan in order to go through the grocery stores and it gets the price and everything. Well, if you take a look at that code, it starts out with a 6 on one side and a 6 on the other and a 6 in the middle. Every one of them has that 666 on it. And that's common knowledge. That isn't something I'm making up. That's there in every one of those codes. And of course, then the other marks inside will determine just what the product is and what the price is and what the stock number is. And they can reorder and restock their shelves based upon your sale, your buying of that product. So amazing things are done. Now, they thought that we would all have that, universal product code in our forehead or in our hand, something like that. Not ours, because we'll be out of here, but during tribulation time that they would do that. So now they're even getting more technical with these things, and the capabilities are just almost beyond our understanding these days. So it's not beyond, supernatural or a really exaggerated way out of proportion for us to read here that if you don't have the mark, you can't do business. It's not beyond the capability of our thinking to say, that's very easily done. That can be very easily done. I don't know if you know your own credit cards now come with a chip in it. And instead of them swiping, now you stick it in a slot, and there's just a little square on there, and that thing knows everything about you, okay? It knows how much money you got, whether you can pay for this or not. It's amazing the things that they are able to do in this day and age. So that's not beyond, that could never happen, people would say. No, we can see it can happen. If it isn't actually already happening, but it's not the mark of the beast if it's already happening because we're still here. But that mark of the beast will be available within 3.5 years from the time that we are raptured out of here. So that technology needs to be in place already, or the ability to do that has to be in place already when we're raptured out. So, it's not beyond understanding or belief to see that happening. Chapter 14, verse 9. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9. All right, Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." So people during the tribulation time who follow this man and take his mark, they're headed for hell. They're lost and on their way to hell. Wow. I tell you what, folks, things are winding down when these events start taking place in this world. And they are going to take place in this world. Another scripture would be Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Now, we could spend a long time in Daniel chapter 9 talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel, but I'm just going to try and say it to you rather quickly here. All right. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. What is being established here in the book of Daniel is that God has determined a certain amount of time to take place until the Antichrist comes on the scene and is destroyed. And here's what's going to happen. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, the Lord is speaking to Daniel here about his own people. Daniel's people are the people of Israel. All right. So 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Israel, and upon thy holy city, that'd be Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, you know, that means then that the Lord's going to be coming back at that point and straightening everything out after the 70 weeks are done. So verse, and then also it says, and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now, who is the most holy? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And to anoint him would make him the Messiah. All right. To anoint him openly for everybody to know, here is the Messiah, the promised one, the holy one. The most holy. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. All right. Now, Daniel is in captivity. And the Lord is saying, when the command is given to send the children of Israel back and rebuild the city until the time of the end, this is how much time is going to go by. Well, you have to read Nehemiah and Ezra. Those are the books that tell you all about the return of Israel back to the land and the rebuilding of the temple and everything being in place right up until Jesus comes. And I mean, when he's born the first time. All right. So it says here, and the prince shall be, or wait a minute, to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks. And if you add them together, now down on the bottom of my chart, at the bottom left, if it isn't cut off, you should see two equations there. 49 plus 434 equals 483. Those are years. And we take the weeks there to mean years, not just weeks. If you just took weeks, it wouldn't go very far at all. But you take the weeks to be years, and seven sevens equals 49, and 7 times 62 weeks equals 434. Together, that makes 483. So from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, on this earth, 483 years. And there have been men who have done the studies, have painstakingly done studies to figure out just when the first edict was to rebuild the city right up to the very birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, which wasn't on December 25th, okay? But they've painstakingly figured it out, 483 years. We still need 7 more years to equal what verse 24 starts out with, 70 weeks. 7 times 70 would be 490 years. So Daniel was standing in that day long before Jesus was born, 483 years before Jesus was born. Well, here we sit tonight, 2,000 years almost after Jesus has been on this earth and went to the cross and everything. And this still has not been completed. What hasn't? The last week still needs to be completed. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, referring to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who is going to confirm this covenant? That prince that shall come and destroy the city. He's going to destroy these things, and then he's going to confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, that would be 3.5 years, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What is this man going to do? Halfway through the last 7 years, which we see to be this tribulation time coming upon the world after the rapture of the church, halfway through, he is going to break his covenant with Israel. The false peace that has been established, he's going to establish a covenant of peace with Israel. Those things are found in the book of Isaiah, where Israel makes a covenant with the devil, this Antichrist. They're going to make a covenant of death. And he's going to break it with them 3.5 years into the tribulation time and rise up as a very wicked ruler over this world. And Israel is going to be in big trouble, because when he breaks his covenant with them, he, being energized by Satan, is going to try to destroy Israel and wipe them off the face of the earth. We already hear rulers of nations saying that today. This is not far-fetched to think that men would want to do this. A long time ago, World War II, we had Nazi Germany. And one of the things that they wanted to do was wipe out the Jewish nation. And they did quite a terrible job of that, as we all well know. Now, there were other factors in the whole World War II. I know all about that. But it's very obvious what their intent and what the devil's intent was to try to destroy God's people, Israel. But they failed. They failed. And there have been several attempts throughout history to destroy Israel. Stalin in Russia tried to do the same thing. And today, even our own politicians argue about, should we support Israel, should we not support Israel? I tell you what, if you're on the opposite end, on the wrong end of that, that's not good. This is going to take place here, that this Antichrist, this beast, is going to make a covenant with Israel and say, oh, for 7 years we'll have peace. Well, halfway through, he decides to break it. And the Lord talks about this in Matthew chapter 24. Go to Matthew 24. We've already looked at this when we were going verse by verse Sunday morning through Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. And the Lord, let's go all the way to verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, didn't I just read that back there in Daniel 9? All right, now Jesus is talking about it still being a future event. So what was talked about there in Daniel did not get completely done. The 70 weeks did not get completely done. Even Jesus confirms that, because here he is on earth 483 years later saying, now, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, verse 15, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. By the way, there's a confirmation for the book of Daniel to really have been written by Daniel. There are many who believe that Daniel could not have possibly written Daniel, because he talked about things to come. He was talking about the four main empires that were to come upon this earth. How could he know that? Well, because he was under inspiration. That's how. And it's prophecy. And we have much prophecy in the Word of God. But you know what? Evil men will just try to take away from the supernatural aspect of the Word of God every chance they can get. And if they can deny the authorship of the book of Daniel, they will do that. But Jesus tells us who wrote it, spoken of by Daniel, right there, the prophet. Stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. He's talking about when this abomination of desolation takes place, and this prince stands up and breaks his covenant in the midst of the week, as Daniel says. and commits a terrible abomination in the temple there. I believe he's probably going to offer a pig on the altar in the temple. That would be a desecration, an abomination to the Jewish people, especially if he would do such a thing as that. And that's most likely what he's going to do. And the Lord says, when you see that take place, run. Run. That's what the Lord's telling the people of Israel. Run. Run for your life. And Israel is going to have to flee. And notice the next words that are spoken of. Verse 21. For then shall be what? Great tribulation. Now for 3.5 years, there's going to be tribulation on this earth. Even though the Antichrist is going to have that peace covenant and everything, that God is also at the same time starting to judge. With the breaking of the seals, as you see down below, and the blowing of the trumpets, and the 7 bowl of vile judgments haven't been poured out yet, but will soon to come. There's going to be a lot of trouble going on this earth at the same time this Antichrist is rising up to be the savior of the world. Oh boy, what a time of confusion it's going to be. And they're all going to be looking for someone to take care of all the problems that are going on. And Israel's going to look to this Antichrist for the first 3.5 years to save them out of all their trouble. They are actually going to believe that this Antichrist is their Messiah. But it will become very apparent to them halfway through the 7 years to Israel that he no longer is the promised Messiah. And oh, what a time for the 144,000 to be witnessing of the truth of Jesus of Nazareth being the true Messiah of Israel. And they're going to run and flee because he's going to be after them. Who is? The Antichrist. He's going to be after Israel to destroy them if he possibly can. And they're going to have to flee. Notice I have an arrow from the middle of the tribulation down, and it says, Israel flees to city of Petra. Okay, go with me to Isaiah chapter 16. Isaiah chapter 16. After we talk about this, I'll open it up for any questions there might be, and we'll see how far we can get here. Isaiah chapter 16, a very prominent prophecy, one that I've enjoyed knowing about from a child, listening to preachers preach prophetic messages. And chapter 16, verse 1. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah, to the wilderness under the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcasts. I believe the outcasts are Israel fleeing at this time. Bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcasts dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a... Now, Moab has always been like an enemy of Israel all through their history. God now is calling upon Moab. Moab, you are actually related to them through Lot and Abraham. Take care of them. Take care of my outcasts. And one of the places he mentions is up there in verse 1, from the land of Selah. Does anybody have any cross references in the middle that tell you what Selah means? Anybody? Sharon? Petra. Yep, Petra. And do you know that there is a city in the area of Moab called Petra? And it is a city that is cut out of the cliffs, of the rocks of the cliffs. And people in past times have lived in those places. Right now it's empty. But it is big enough to take care of and hold up a lot of people in safety. And I believe that that is where Israel will be kept safe as the Antichrist chases after them halfway through the tribulation time. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse verse 1. And I'm going to have to kind of not read this whole chapter for sake of time, but this passage talks about how Israel will be chased by the Antichrist. Well, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I believe that's a description of Israel and the 12 tribes, okay? And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And I believe that has reference to the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon. I believe that's none other than the devil. And you can see that down verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So back up there, this red dragon is none other than the devil, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. That's where we get that teaching that the devil, it was not alone in his rebellion way, way back in the very beginning when he rebelled and said, I will be like the Most High. You know, you remember those passages? That's where the devil became the devil as we know him. He drew 1/3 of all the angels of heaven with him in his rebellion against God. And that's where I believe we have demonic activity. They are the demons. They are the evil spirits that are followers of Satan's kingdom. All right. Verse 4 says, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Did the devil try to kill Jesus right from the very beginning? Oh, he sure did. And several times throughout his ministry, he tried it as well. And verse 5, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Folks, that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we could go into a long discussion, give you cross references and everything. I think Psalm 2 would be a good one as a cross reference. He's going to rule the world with a rod of iron, it says there in Psalm 2. And as the Son of God, who's doing that? All right. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. All right. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And where did he go? Heaven. Up to heaven. He was caught up to heaven. And that's where he is. And you know what? You could put 2,000 years between verse 5 and verse 6. All right. 2,000 years to take care of the church age, which we live in right now. You say, I don't know how you do that. Well, you can. Stick 2,000 years in there. The Lord's gone back and it's been 2,000 years since that's happened. And there's 7 more years to be accomplished according to Daniel. And the Lord even talked about it. And he said, when in the middle of it, when you see the abomination of desolation, flee. And they'll flee down to Petra. And Moab will protect Israel for the next 3.5 years. Verse 6, and the woman fled, and that the woman's Israel, fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Yeah, a place prepared of God. That's back in Isaiah 16, where he says, Moab, you take care of her. You take care of my outcasts, all right? And they do for 1,260 days. How many years is that? 3.5, if you figure it out, it's 3.5 years. Takes Israel then through that great tribulation. See on my timeline there, after that middle part, you have the great tribulation. Israel flees to the city of Petra, and those two references there, I even say there, see that rapture between verses 5 and 6? I have that written right down there for you to be able to think of for yourself. Now, before I get to taking a look at that other arrow going up to the harlot church, are there any questions? Anybody have any questions or additional thought? Okay, it's your turn. You can get a chance. Anybody with any thought? Hey, Chris Mitchell.
I was just going to say those chip-embedded debit and credit cards, understand that the advantage for that, especially for law enforcement, is when somebody stole the card, they had to wait, or somebody was missing, they had to wait for them. Find out where that person was. Now they can track the card itself by GPS.
In other words, they can tell right where it is, locate it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you know, we haven't read some of those scriptures, but the Antichrist at that time, at this time halfway through, will be on a search and destroy mission. If you are found without that mark of the beast, you are going to pay with your life. And there's going to be a lot of people who will refuse to take the mark of the beast who will die as a result. And Israel, of course, they're going to flee. They're not going to take it. So they're going to be searched out. And that's what we find here in this passage. All right. Anybody else with anything? I'm going to take you to that verse. You're still there in Revelation 12. Go all the way down to verse, verse 10 talks about what I just said, people not taking the mark. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. It's right at this time also, folks, when the devil, who up to this time, halfway through the tribulation, up to this time, obviously has access to the heavenlies to be able to go right in to the presence of God. And one of the things he does up to this time is to accuse the brethren, to accuse you and me, to accuse Job in the Old Testament. Remember that? What did he do? He went right up into there. The sons of God were presenting themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came to present himself before the Lord. So up until this time, he has access. But at this time, the devil, you can see verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Michael, the archangel of God, is going to fight the devil and cast him out of heaven. No longer will the devil have access to heaven. And he also knows his time is short. He has 3.5 years left to do whatever he's going to do. And folks, he is going to be ferocious in his anger, his hatred, and in his manner and methods to destroy whatever he can of God and his plan and program. And here it is, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. That's Israel. Which brought forth the man-child, that's Jesus. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. And there's that Isaiah 16 thing again, all right? Into Petra. Fly into the wilderness, into her place. Yeah, God has prepared a place for them. He's going to protect them from the devil. The devil is going to one last time chance to try to destroy Israel, and he'll lose. He won't win. And it says, where she is nourished for a time, verse 14, and for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. All right, you have a time, that's one. You have times, that can be two. There you got three, and half a time, 3.5 years. This keeps coming up, this timing like this. God will either use years, months, days, or he'll just refer to it as times. But you come up with 3.5 every time you do this. Verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon's the devil, cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Anybody else who would believe the same way as Israel? The devil's after them, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of what? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Wow. That takes you right on through to the end of the 7 years of tribulation. Now, I believe something else is also happening in that last 3.5 years, and it happens at the ascension of Antichrist to prominence. Something else has to fall. Because up until this time, something else has been in position of power over the peoples of the world. And that is a false church system has been going on, and it's Babylonish in character, and it goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel. But in the end times, it has taken on names, nomenclature of Christianity. There is a false church and a true church. I hope you understand that. There's a false church in the world today, and it's going to go right on into this tribulation time. But it's going to have its end. It's going to meet its demise halfway through the tribulation time. Because see, this beast is not going to be satisfied to just be the political leader of the world. He wants to be the religious leader of the world as well. But there's a system standing in his way. We know it today as the Roman Catholic system. And it stands in the way of politicians even today, keeping them from doing what they really want to do. It kind of holds them back to a certain extent. It has a certain amount of religiosity to it, even a outward righteousness to it. But inwardly, they are dead man's bones. The Lord described it as whited sepulchers full of dead man's bones. All right? That's this religious system that's going to be in place in the tribulation time. Folks, its date of judgment is coming. It's found in Revelation 17. Go there. Revelation 17. And again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, go through it, but here it is. For those of you who see, and I have it written down there for you for your own study to do. This is called the harlot church. It's going to be judged. And who's going to judge it? It's not necessarily going to be at the direct hand of God, but God is going to be behind the direction of it all. You know who's going to judge that system? The Antichrist, the beast. The Antichrist himself is going to throw her off and destroy her, and then he will be left standing alone as not only now the political leader of the world, but the spiritual leader of the world, with Satan energizing him, the red dragon. Wow. All right, you see it there in chapter 17. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And folks, I won't go on to read the rest of this chapter. The beast is the Antichrist that she's sitting on. And she's kind of directing him up until 3.5 years. And then the beast, with help of the other kings, as you can read, is going to throw her off. And let me just go right on down to verse 16. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, the next verse will tell you the identity of this harlot woman. Who is it? And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth. You see the ETH on the end there? Reigneth, meaning at the very time that John, the writer of Revelation, wrote it, this city was in was great, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Anybody know what city that is? What? Rome. And in Rome today sits a system that fits this harlot system mentioned here. Chapter 18 goes on to describe how she will be destroyed and the desolation. And all the world will be in wonderment when they watch this thing being destroyed by the beast. And they're going to say, how could this happen? Yeah. You know, have you noticed, and I'll end with this tonight now. Have you noticed how all the leaders of the world have to go over and pay a visit to the Pope? Have you noticed? I think our vice president was just over there. Our president was over there at one time. Leaders from other nations of the world make their visits there. And they kiss his ring and bow down and things like that. Folks, this is not far-fetched teaching that I'm giving you here. That's correct. I saw that. That's right. Bernie Sanders was over there. Folks, this stuff is not far-fetched. You say, oh, the preacher, he's really going off the deep end here. Huh? Oh, no. If you read your newspapers, we see these things unfolding before our very eyes. How much closer must we be to the rapture of the church, folks? I mean, we're seeing things that are prophecy coming to pass. We must be at the very doorway of the rapture of the church. My dad and I get talking on the phone, and you know what? It never seems to fail, but we start talking about, well, Gary, I think we're right there at the rapture. And I'll say, Dad, I think you're right. And then we start talking about everything we see going on and matching it up with prophecy in the Word of God. And we both conclude we must be right about there. And so, therefore, Christian, you know what? We ought to be living like as if at any moment we could be caught up out of this world. And are we living the way we should? Are we being a testimony the way we should? Jim.
I personally think Satan is building his army just as we are here.
Yeah, absolutely,
young,
sure.
Young men and women.
Yeah.
Have all kinds of sticks and things through their nose and their tongue. And if you look on the back of their neck, they have these stripes with tattoo 666.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them do it just to put it right in your face, you know. But our schools are training children to be tribulation children. They're going to be the tribulation children. Because you wonder, how can people do some of the things that the Bible says they're going to be doing? Well, we're training them right now. They're rebellious against God. They're rebellious against authority. They'll beat up their teachers if they get a chance, you know. Oh, we see it right here in our own city, Allentown. They will beat up a cop if they can get a chance to do it. They will do it. Folks, I tell you what, we're getting close. So let's start living for the Lord. If you haven't been, let's start living for the Lord. Let's be devoted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's read our Bibles. Let's pray every day. Let's witness for the Lord and try and save as many as we can out of this before the Lord comes back. Because there's another passage which tells us if people who have heard the gospel, have had the opportunity, don't accept it, they won't accept it in the tribulation time. In fact, that's what caused me to get saved one day. I had a dream that the rapture took place. And we were in the car with my mom and dad and my sisters. And all of a sudden, they were all gone. And I had to reach over and grab the steering wheel. because dad was gone. And I knew right, the rapture. Boy, that scared me. It wasn't but a few days after that. a 10-year-old boy got on his knees and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul. Now, I had that all wrong and everything. In fact, I even had the sun was turned to blood, and I think that was the moon. And I had it all messed up in my dream, but it was enough to scare me. I had heard enough good preaching, prophetic preaching, that it scared me to realize, wow, I better get ready. And if you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you say, well, I'll wait and see if what you say is true, and when the tribulation time comes, I'll know it. I'll see. I mean, you've been telling me all about it. You know what? You will believe a lie. Oh, no, I won't. You know what? If people today, I know I'm going over, but I'll end with this. If people today believe in evolution, it's not far-fetched to think that they would believe a lie that Antichrist is Jesus. Because you have to be a fool, an outright fool, to believe in evolution. There is no way we got here by just random mere chances and changes. Oh no, we've been designed by a great designer, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You say, well, I thought it was God. No, God says in the word, Jesus made it all. John chapter 1. Without him was not anything made that was made. And it's referring to Jesus Christ. Wow. What a great Savior we have. The Creator came into our world to die on the cross for our sins. Okay, I'll keep on going till midnight if we don't stop. All right. I hope these things are a blessing to you. And if you think I'm a little far-fetched, then you just keep studying it yourself. You read the Bible yourself. I tell you what, I didn't come to this conclusion overnight. 40 years in the ministry and listening to good preaching, and listening to others explain the same things, you know what? After a while, you come to a conclusion. These things are right. These things are right that we're looking at. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll let you out of here. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the fellowship of the saints here tonight around the communion table as we remembered your Son paying the price for our sin. And now, Lord, again, we thank you that you have not left your bride in the dark about what the future holds. You've told your bride, the church, what's going to happen by writing the book of Revelation and all the other prophets of the Bible as well. And we thank you for it. And Lord, help us to live in light of the fact that at any moment we are going to be caught up to be with the Lord. Help us to live accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.